Good morning, brothers and sisters. It is Stefan Molyneux from Free Domain, 29th of September, 2024. freedomain.com/donate to help out the show. You can tip in this very live stream on the apps, but freedomain.com/donate is the best going. This must be like my 10,000th hour listening to Steph, and I'm still interested. Fully caffeinated Steph. This is decaf. One coffee in the morning. One coffee in the afternoon, at least as far as caffeinated go. Everything after that, or everything independent of that, is open season, free game. I did a show this morning, answering questions. Went into Albert Camus, the existentialist who believed that the only question that really mattered was suicide. Suicide, the only question, the only fundamental. Okay, we get it. You're French. You're raised by a bunch of semi-pedo creeps. The guy's, and this I sympathize with him for, of course. The guy's mother, Camus' mother, a famous French writer and intellectual, and commie. But his mother was an illiterate deaf woman. Can you imagine what it would be like to be raised by a woman who couldn't read and couldn't talk to you? Yeah, that's right. I'm sure the problem is the universe as a whole, rather than your freaky-ass upbringing. Plus, then, in his early 20s, he married a woman hoping to cure her of her opium addiction, her whatever opiates addiction. And he married her hoping that the love and power of his Franco penis would chase all of the demons of addiction away. Funny story, terrible story, awful story. Turns out that she was sleeping with her doctor, I assume, to get those meds. And so he divorced her. But then later, he slept around on his next wife so much that she ended up in a mental institution. But please, Albert, tell me all about the morality. Thanks, Zimf. I appreciate that. Thank you all about the morality. I want to see beautiful baldness. Yeah, sorry, I've got goofy hair. Like, you know, that little tufty stuff. I'm starting to look like a startled Schopenhauer. So I'm afraid we're going to have to cover up the goofy hair. Oh, and I just made a hat perfect. And now it's gone. Now it's gone. Yes. I just had one of the ultimate I can fix her conversations of my life. Okay, so questions, comments, issues, challenges, problems, whatever's on your mind. I got a couple of thoughts here. We're going to do the first hour open. Second hour, don't like these programs that keep popping up offering to help me. It's like, if I want your help, I'll ask for it. Yeah, the masturbatory soap dispenser in France is a bit odd. It's not odd because it's masturbatory. It's odd because it seems to indicate that French people occasionally think about washing. Which I don't think is true, technically, even a little bit. That's the weird part. All right, let's pin that to the... Right. So, yeah, if you want to join for the second half, I will put the links below, and you can join there. Is this going to be enough, or is this going to get cut off? No. You can join the links there. I appreciate that. And you'll join us for the second half when we'll go Donner only. Good day from Southeast Ontario. Ooh, let us enjoy our last little bit of sunshine. Drink it up before the SAD of the endless nuclear winter known as life in Canada. Well, at least life in this part of Canada. It's even worse when you go Easter. More easterly. I remember in Montreal having a, you wake up and it's like, if you're going to be outside, make sure you don't leave your skin uncovered for more than 2 seconds. Oh, yeah. So I did a true crime on the Turpins. It's a 2-part series on the Turpin family. I won't give any spoilers, but that's going out as a whole. Any plans on covering philosophers of this century? Yeah, I will, for sure. I will. We did Churchill last time. Yeah, I'll get to the philosophers of this century. For sure. I will. I think I'm just going to have to bite the bullet and recognize that
I'm going to have to do aspects of Kant and not the whole thing. So another J.D. Vance video has come out where he's, well, it's funny, you know, again, this is just the lying stuff. And this is why philosophy just in politics just became sort of pointless and useless and boring, because it's such like, well, there's lies. I think a little bit more of the lies are coming from the left than from the right, although, you know, they certainly have their share as well. But, you know, when Kamala Harris was repeating the Fine People hoax and so on, it's like, okay, so just lying about that. So, you know, there's a sort of principle in law, you know, when it comes to witnesses, that if you lie in one thing, you're assumed to be lying in everything. So they've snipped out a bit of J.D. Vance's commentary on, they're saying he's talking about all women and he's not, right? So he's talking about ideology and childlessness and so on. And he's attacking women, bashing women, right? That's the trigger point, right? That's the trigger the simps point, right? Trigger the self-pitying, manipulative women. He's attacking women. And it's like, well, you know, it's funny because if women are equal to men, then they should be able to take criticism like men do. That's why you know that a lot of women don't really believe in any kind of equality, because they want all of the benefits but none of the drawbacks, right? So one of the benefits of being a man is obvious. Some of the drawbacks are that you get heavily criticized a lot of the time. So for women, it's like, I want to be just like a man. I'm going to make absurd statements. Oh, wait, I'm being criticized. Oh, I'm being attacked. Oh, Lord, help me. I'm being bashed. Okay. 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 So anyway, he was criticizing some women. Now, they're saying it's all women. And what they did was they cut out the part where he's talking about, I think it was Harvard or something like that. He's talking about women at the very sort of top of the intellectual hierarchy, the women who are spreading a lot of propaganda and things like that. So, but I'll tell you this. It's probably not a surprise. I have a couple of problems with the antinatalists. Don't want to have kids, lazy shit. Don't want to have kids. Okay, fine. So who's gonna take care of you when you get old? Who's gonna maintain the infrastructure? Who's gonna provide the healthcare when you get old? If you don't have kids, I mean, you're too old to do it. I mean, you're not out there creating new sewage lines or repairing electrical grids when you're 80. So who's gonna run society when you get old if you don't have kids? Who's gonna be working to provide you your spotty-assed pensions, right? Who is going to be running society, providing healthcare, maintaining the infrastructure, and working hard so that you can pillage their productive labor with your endless neediness? Who is going to be paying your bills, keeping the lights and the heat on, providing you healthcare when you get old? Oh, that's right. That's right. Other people's kids. Right. Right, so you only get to live in relative comfort because other people have children. Oh, you semi-vampire. That's right. Other people's kids will take care of you. And if you and a bunch of other people, like the boomers, kill-shotted a third of their offspring with abortion, right? So, if not enough people in your country have kids, well, I suppose you'll just demand that people all over the world have kids and you bring them in to stuff into your endless maw of narcissistic greed. I mean, say, well, but I'm not expecting my kids to take care of me because I've saved all my money. Yes, that's right, because all the childless people, they just save all their money in preparation for their old age without the support of kids and grandkids. Okay. So who are you going to give that money to? Who are you going to pay? Oh, that's right. The grown children of other people who had kids. That's right. So you are absolutely relying on other people having children in order to flourish and survive into your dotage. I just want them to admit that. That's all. That's all. I just want them to admit that. Well, I'm too lazy or selfish or whatever to have kids, but I absolutely demand that other people have kids. There's no such thing as antinatalism. There's only shifting the burden of taking care of you from your own family to everyone else. That's all there is. There's no such thing as antinatalism. There's only, right, because if people don't have kids, are they willing to say, okay, well, I didn't have kids, so I'm not contributing to the tax base of the next generation, so I really don't deserve a pension. Or whatever, right? No, it's always like, well, other people are going to have to feed and clothe me and take care of me and wipe my ass and give me drugs and give me a roof over my head and keep the lights on. I'm not contributing to any of that, really. But other people better do it. I mean, could you imagine saying to the boomers, well, you all didn't have enough kids, so there's no money for Social Security, so you can't get it because you didn't have enough kids. I mean, they would lose their shit. I mean, they would absolutely lose, because, you know, bringing reality to the boomers is like bringing sunlight to a vampire or a cross to a demon. They only know need and greed. It's a fairly demonic generation in many ways. Tons of exceptions, of course, right? So I just want them, I don't want to have kids, but people as a whole better have kids, or no one's going to be able to take care of me and keep the lights on and provide me healthcare when I get old. Y'all better have kids. I don't want to have kids, but I absolutely need you to have kids. That's the part of me that's the part that I can't abide. I can't stand that. I just be honest. I don't want to have kids because it interferes with my selfish pursuit of material pleasures in the short run, but everybody else better have kids because I need to enslave them for when I get old. That's all. Don't hide behind this philosophical nonsense. Thank you for the tip. Yeah, that's all I ask people. Just don't hide behind this nonsense that there's any kind of ideology, right? Vegans. Well, also the vegans just need to say that I'm destroying far more animals by being vegan than if I was a meat eater. That's all. I just want vegans to acknowledge that. Because a cow needs relatively little space, but vegetables need massive amounts of space, which means you have to clear off a whole bunch of woodland to grow vegetables, which is destroying the habitat of billions of animals. Rabbits, shrews, foxes, like everything that hunts. So it's fine if you say, well, I want to eat vegetables, and I don't care that me eating vegetables destroys far more animal life than eating meat. Okay. But it's saying, I want to eat vegetables because I don't want to harm animals. It's like, well, the vegetables are displacing way more animals than a cow does. So you're fine having far more animals killed for the sake of your virtue signaling. Just be honest. Antinatalists are usually statists. Well, sure, they have to be statists because you want... Here's the thing, man. I'm sure you've seen these videos of old people being neglected or abused in old age homes, which is a mirror of them usually dumping their kids in daycare to be abused and neglected in daycare. You absolutely want and need people who love you to be around you when you're old. That's all. You absolutely need people who care about you. But I guess the people who say, well, anonymous, often foreign, accented strangers will care about my kids more than I do. Well, I guess the same thing happens with old age workers in old age homes. It's just a mirror, right? You reap what you sow. But the cows are grain-fed, and growing grain also displaces animals. Well, two things. Yes, but less. And also, you can have grass-fed cows, right? Credit to vegetarians who grow food hydroponically. Hydroponically. Okay, so you're saying that they need a fair amount of electricity and water, which means that more habitat has to be destroyed for electrical plants and irrigation mechanisms. Like, there's just no way around it. I don't know, this bizarre thing that people can consume without effects on the ecosystem is just, it's bizarre to me. I don't know. It's just bizarre. All right. Let's see here. I just saw an ad in the real estate. Saw an ad in the newspaper, record of my eye. I said to my baby, this sounds like the ticket for you and I. He said, volunteers wanted for a very special trip to commune with Mother Nature on a big wooden ship. Just saw this ad in a real estate section for a 73-year-old woman who is homeless, who needs a room for $400 a month. I assume this woman didn't plan ahead properly. Right. 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 So, women need men in order to retire well. Women need men in order to retire well. For two reasons. One is that if you have a man, then two can live as cheaply as one, except for the man eating. What did women say? That's pretty easy to feed a man. I just make a meal portion for four and give him three. So, two can live as cheaply as one. The man will out-earn her for sure, and the man will not likely outlive her. And so, for relatively cheap, if you start young, I started with life insurance in my 20s. So, for relatively cheap, if you start young, you're also going to get a big payout from his death, right? So, your life insurance. So, the only way for women, for most women, to retire in any reasonable level of comfort is to be married. So, choosing to be a single woman is choosing poverty in your old age. Of course, nobody's going to say any of that, right? So, habitat destroyed is fake news. Crop or animal grazing doesn't destroy habitat. That is very funny. That is very funny. Yes. Clearing the land of forest and undergrowth doesn't destroy habitat. Come on, man. You got to work a little harder than that. All right. Somebody says, I recently accepted a job attending to kids in a daycare with a, quote, ADHD, and it was truly horrendous. He says, these kids don't have a mental illness. They're simply treating the teachers by the same standards the teachers exemplify. There was so much neglect and abuse going on, I cried after the first day. The teachers only care about keeping the job. I told the owner that the problem is the priority of the teachers and not the kids at all. They just need patience and respect. They, quote, behaved when respected. Yeah. I mean, I worked for many years in a daycare in a pretty rough and poor section of town. And I could keep the kids easily entertained and focused, even though they were generally chaotic coming in. I sit down, I remember telling them the story of the Cimmerillion and other things, and they would sit down and I would tell them the story, and they were very focused and enjoyed the story, had great questions and all of that. So, power should come via solar collectors in orbit. Collect rainwater, I suppose, or recirculation and filtration. It's possible to live low impact. Yes, of course, too few actually admit or live up to that level of responsibility. The exception that proves the rule. Well, sure. I mean, power should come from me harnessing my farts to make methane power structures. I always thought it would be cool to have a gym where the generators are hooked up to the machine, so all of the work that the weightlifters are putting into moving the machines actually powers the gym. I mean, I'm sure it wouldn't work, but it's a pretty, to me, that's always kind of a neat idea. So power should come via solar collectors in orbit. Yeah, sure. I mean, that doesn't solve the problem of growing food, but it would collect rainwater, I suppose. Come on, man. This, like, just wishing stuff. I mean, what about the places where there's little rainwater? I mean, come on, right? keeping rainwater clean is tough, right? Because you collect rainwater and, I mean, keeping it clean. Can we just install solar farms on the moon? Absolutely, yeah. You know, I love this wish stuff. Be cool if, man. Be cool if. Wouldn't it be great if? Be neat if. You know, what if the solar system was just like an atom in a larger universe, man? All right. Someone says, you once did a lecture about the history of Europe, probably more than once, and talked about a musical piece called Ode to Joy, not the real name, I think. You explained the song in context of when it was written. I don't know which one that is, but fdrpodcast.com, you might want to do it. All right. You can bail water, even turning urine into drinking water with the right heating technology. You can boil water, sorry. Bail. Yeah, cardio machines. Yeah, I think that would work, right? But I remember one of the things I remember about learning about electricity when I was younger was, I'm sure they still have it, because the last time I went to the Ontario Science Museum with my daughter at Eglinton and Don Mills, which is now closed down because they didn't plan for any maintenance for the building, I think. So when I went there, there used to be this machine that you had to power a television by pedaling, and the amount that you had to pedal was truly insane. Alan Savory has shown that animal grazing is absolutely necessary to combat things like soil erosion, deforestation, and desertification, so veganism is worse for the environment than even you're describing. Oh, is that right? I choose to believe you because it's roughly in line with my beliefs, so I won't verify it. No, I'm kidding. I'm sure you're right. Most people talking about their opinions on food/water have never tried to grow anything. Yeah, I mean, it's truly wild. You know, I have a vegetable patch, which I tend and, of course, work over the course of the summer and fall. It's amazing just how much you can get. It really is amazing just how much you can get. You know, you drive in northern Ontario past these fields of wheat interstellar style or corn. I mean, they're so tightly packed, they look like Japanese subway cars. They want to build a new one at Ontario Place, but who knows? Yeah. Well, you know, I'm sure they're going to have trouble because I'm sure science is racist. I'm sure it is. I'm sure there's endless articles about that. Everything I like is a human right. Everything I don't like is racist. Boring. All right. Let me get to other things to chat about. Oh, yeah, don't forget TikTok, tiktok.com/@freedomain.com. I hope that you will check that out. It's actually kind of useful for me to see which is the most popular topics. I can sort of see it pretty immediately. All right. TikTok.com. I'm so sorry. I remember when I could talk, that was fun times. TikTok.com/@freedomain.com. I'll put it in the chat here too. If you could sign up for that, bookmark it, and, you know, notification and all that kind of stuff, right? So, did your experience in daycare affirm the universality of principles? I apologize if my question is not clear, but I believe the experience of the interaction with the children's needs helped open up your perspective. Well, the kids were wild, and some of them were rough, and some of them were violent. And I just found that when kids were genuinely interacted with and listened to, they calmed down, like, immediately. Immediately. Like, it wasn't even, like, you just sit down, talk to the kids and listen to them, ask them about their day, ask them what's going on in their minds, ask them what they had a dream about, ask them what their dreams are in the future, ask them whatever, right? And they just calm down. You know, there's so much hovering, livestock management, non-interaction herding when it comes to kids. Hold on to the rope this way. Don't wander. Stand back from the road. It's just managing, managing, managing. Just like a sheepdog yapping at the sheep. There's just so much dissociated hoverbot alien abstraction management without any genuine interaction. But I've always enjoyed chatting with kids. So I remember many years ago, gosh, a quarter century ago, when I was researching my novel, The God of Atheists, I remember reading that symptoms of ADHD vanished the moment that a boy was around his father. So, kids go nuts when they're not interacted with. And so it becomes this vicious cycle. And you can see this in schools. This is the worst class in my 25 years. This is the worst. Moore's got that speech like every single year. I've been teaching for 30 years. This is by far the worst class. Cannonballs, abuse, right? And so the kids feel insulted and put down, neglected and avoided. And so they act out. And then the teachers get even more angry, which causes the kids to act out even more. And then you end up nuking them with dubious drugs, right? So I remember that. Yeah, this is by far the worst. Like, you guys are Satan incarnate. It's the worst class. It's just nonsense, right? Somebody says, I believe oil is currently the cleanest energy source next to nuclear. Okay. So if you, and I know this from my entrepreneurial career like 30 years ago, look up NUGs, non-utility generators, NUGs. So look up if it's legal for you to have a power source that isn't approved and licensed by the government. Just look up. Can a town create its own power source, which reduces transmission, right? Like if you live in the country, like half your energy bill can just be transmission costs. Is there a country that's getting child rearing right? Seems like everyone is effing this up. Well, you could say that France was trying to get child rearing right. They're not messing it up in terms of maintaining the power structure, right? Parents are aggressive, cold, and cruel towards their children, while claiming to be only focused on their best interests, and then they hand them over to governments that are cold, cruel, and neglectful towards their citizens while claiming to live for their very best interests. It's just the same, right? So you can't fix society without fixing parenting, but the moment you start to fix parenting, society freaks out because the power structures will change completely. Somebody says the majority of the conversations between the teachers and kids at the daycare was no, and various comments on how the kids were bad. It's like the kids are being hypnotized into identifying with only the worst things. Well, and I mean, of course, so much of life is about avoiding the bottom quintile, like the most dysfunctional and violent and messed up and bullying and, right? Although, you know, the reason why bullying exists is because women like it. Women like bullying. So lower IQ kids and bullies get more sex than higher IQ, more peaceful kids. And bullies generally go on to have very functional and successful lives in the current society. So women are kind of like bullies, which is why the gene sort of continues, or the factors, social or whatever genetic factors continue. Reminds me of the neglect I dealt with and how my behavior was. I was also diagnosed with ADHD, if that's any surprise. Yeah, I think that because teachers get burned out, I think that every wave of students feels like the worst. But that's because the teachers are burned out. And the reason the teachers are burned out is because they can't remove the disruptors from the classroom. Right? If you don't get ostracism, you only get escalation. If you can't separate, then conflict escalates. So once the disruptive kids realize they can't be failed and they can't be kicked out of school, they'll just continue to be disruptive, and the teachers get more and more frustrated and more and more burned out, and therefore every single wave of kids feels like the worst and highest wave, right? When I was in school, I was very aware that the whole purpose was just keep your head down. I viewed school as indistinguishable from prison myself, right? I read a bunch of prison literature, believe it or not, when I was a kid. I read a bunch of prison literature. There was a Scared Straight program that was written about in, you remember I talked about these giant boxes of the Reader's Digest I got from the garbage disposal in my apartment building in England, and I read those feverishly, which were great because they're actually quite normal in a lot of ways and quite healthy. Good-natured, and lots of stories of physical courage and moral courage, and not woke back then. I'm sure it is now. But I read a bunch of prison literature, and the prison literature really did inform me, and especially because when I was in boarding school, that was, I mean, it was live-in, right? So it was like a day-night prison. And so I had the same approach to school as a rational person does in prison. You know, try and keep your, you know, get a little group of people you can hang out with that you can trust. Don't challenge authority in any direct way, and keep your head down. Don't make eye contact because there's lots of unstable people around, lots of dangerous, weird kids around, and you don't want to, you know, there's a lot of people who eye contact provokes them. Provokes their fight or flight mechanism, and they generally won't flight. And that's because they have abusers who will create direct eye contact prior to abuse. So eye contact creates fight or flight. And so you just, what do you do in prison? You keep your head down. You've got a small circle of people that you can hang with, and you don't provoke the guards, and you just do your time and you get out. And right. So, I mean, it's the same. It's the same deal. Somebody says 30 kids and one teacher who is checked out and is ESL with thick accent doesn't help the issue. Yeah, and a friend of mine was saying that he's kind of surprised that how many substitute teachers there are in school these days. I don't know what is the, I don't know what the policy is in various places regarding sick leave or mental health leave or whatever it is, but teachers seem to be out a whole lot. And I mean, what's the point? I mean, substitute teachers, you might as well just cancel the whole class. It's just a waste of time. Somebody says, our teacher always said we were the worst class during school, and on school reunion, she told us we were her best class, and all subsequent classes just got worse and worse. But again, that's teacher burnout, right? Oh man, you brought back so many memories of shame with the worst class spiel. You're the worst students I've ever experienced, blah, 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 blah. Like, wow. I remember the math teacher saying that, and my friend making the joke is like, well, statistically, he should have known we were coming along sooner or later. All right, let's see here. Somebody says, what is incredible is that birth rates are collapsing almost everywhere around the globe, not only in the West or the First World, but in most of the developing world and Third World, too. I've yet to see what is the problem with smaller population. I don't understand that. My whole life, ZPG, zero population growth. My whole life when I was a kid, I was told that there were too many people, and now we're being told that depopulation is a catastrophe. Well, depopulation is a catastrophe only because of the government, right? So what the government does is it steals your money and bribes you with real estate values, right? So the government inflates away the value of your currency, but then you get to imagine that you've made money because the value of your home is going up, which is obviously takes an economic degree of illiteracy that is normally only achieved by houseplants. Well, it's true that my savings are worth less than half what they were 10 years ago, but the value of my house has almost doubled. Really? You don't think that's a coincidence? So they have to bribe the boomers with increased real estate values. And so a smaller population self-corrects, right? A smaller population often happens because the price of starting families is so high. And so what happens is a smaller population, there's lower demand for houses, therefore the housing prices goes down, which means that you can afford more kids, so you have kids, right? Also a smaller population, wages go up because there are fewer people around for the jobs, so wages go up, and so it self-corrects. So, I mean, one of the reasons for all this immigration stuff is just they just absolutely, desperately, completely, and totally need to prop up the house prices of the boomers. Because if you don't have all of this immigration stuff, the house prices are going to collapse, and the illusory wealth of the boomers, which, you know, they bought their houses in, I don't know, in the 1960s for 3 strawberries and a hand job. Now it's worth millions of Zimbabwe dollars. So, all right. I mean, yeah, what's wrong with the smalling lower? What's wrong with, I mean, so just look at agriculture, right? So agriculture, like 120 years ago, like 90% of Americans were involved in agriculture. So the population of Americans in the agricultural sector was just about everyone. Now it's like 2%. So in other words, agriculture has been completely depopulated, and that's because things have been automated. We've got AI, we've got robots. Like, what do we need all these people for? And it's more civilized than war. Well, war is normally the way you depopulate, right? Somebody says, I remember in high school I had a bully in French class. One day he walked by my desk and smacked me, and it genuinely hurt, so I jumped up and punched him in the stomach. He walked back to his desk and put his head down. Teacher saw and didn't say anything or do anything. Yeah, so, I mean, I'm mixed about this. Like, I'm mixed about this. Because some people say, well, you know, you just hit the bully back. And the bully will leave you alone. I'm like, yeah, that's a risky, that's a dice roll, man. The bully can also get triggered and stalk you and do serious damage to you. The bully can escalate. So, yeah, you know, it's not as simple as you just punch the bully back and you just hit the bully, hurt the bully. And it's like, no, the bully's got friends and the bully doesn't like to be humiliated. And you can end up in a situation of extremely dangerous escalation. All right. Somebody says, I was a teacher for 2 years. You're right on the money, Steph. On teacher burnout. Won't kick out disruptive kids because school needs them for high attendance numbers to get their money. Yeah. Yeah. And it's racist, right? What do you think about the burrowing about anthropology info? I don't know. Sorry, if you don't care enough to make your question comprehensible, I'm not going to care enough to read it. You can build your own power source, but endless years of red tape and millions in costs. Yeah, I mean, that's a soft totalitarianism of just bureaucracy, right? Boom, 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 ba-dum, ba-dum, boom, boom. All right. The difference is prisons allow you to buy real food from the store inside, and you're allowed to work at slave wages. Yeah, yeah. The problem is the Ponzi scheme of Social Security and welfare. I mean, I hear what you're saying, but please don't insult Ponzi schemes. At least a Ponzi scheme is voluntary. I don't understand why we're being told that depopulation is bad if the agenda of the elites is depopulation. Well, again, it's just propping up real estate and diluting freedom-loving votes, right? All right. Thanks for the shows. As always, love them so much. Thank you. I appreciate that. Freedomain.com/donate to support the show. Steph, I don't disagree with your assessment whatsoever, but in some ways, to me, it feels like a symptom of a dying world. People are more selfish and concerned with themselves, and also not confident about the state of the world ahead, or the ability to navigate it with a larger family. It's interesting to me that it's happening almost everywhere. The world is fine. What do you mean a dying world? The world is fine. The world is great. And a lot of people are doing very well. So don't get trapped into this dystopian. The world is dying. The West is dying. We are in the relatively final stages of a giant morality play. I mean, I'm not going to blackpill you on this, honestly. Honestly. Like, if you have an uncle who smokes like a chimney and then gets lung cancer, you're like, the world is dying. It's like, no, your stupid uncle who kept smoking is dying. Like, he didn't pull a Michael Caine and quit in 1971 because he got nagged by Tony Curtis after smoking 80 cigarettes a day for most of the 60s. That would be Michael Caine, not Tony Curtis. The world is fine. And a lot of people are doing well, in fact, better than ever before, because we have access to the truth through these kinds of conversations, through social media and so on. You can see the lies of history being dismantled, at least for half the population, in real time. It's never happened before. Before, people got false fed the false milk of propaganda, and you had to wait sometimes for generations for the truth to come out. Now it's coming out in real time. The lies are being dismantled in real time. The world's great. The world's never been healthier, in my opinion. The world has never been healthier. We couldn't have it. I mean, look, I say this as a guy who's put a billion Band-Aids on the wounds of propaganda through philosophy over the course of 20 years. It's never happened before. This conversation, what we're doing here right now, has never happened before. Actionable, practical, real, reasoned philosophy going out to like over a billion times, right? That's like 10 shows a person, 100 million people. That's pretty good. Right, even if we say 100 shows a person, that's 10 million people who got philosophy. Do you know how long it would take for a philosophy book to reach 10 million people or for a philosophy professor to teach 10 million people? I've lived 5,000 years of philosophy in 20 years in terms of reach and impact. And the deplatforming simply positions me infinitely better for the future. Because the people who aren't deplatformed in general are the people who aren't doing much of anything or that they have compromising material on. I mean, you realize I was deplatformed because they got nothing, right? So the world is great and people are healthier now than they've ever been in human history. Go back to the Middle Ages, people were so deranged. There was this thing called St. Vitus dance where people would get so hysterically involved in dancing, they would dance until they dehydrated and died. It was madness. You think of all of the rampant hysterics in victims of childhood sexual abuse in Freud's Vienna in the 19th century. Think of the amount of grieving that went on with half of children dying before the age of 5. You couldn't really be much of a peaceful parent because peaceful parenting is ultimate investment. And why would you invest in kids who are going to die? It's too painful. So the world is great. The world is healthy, and it's not dying. What's happening is that we are in the final stages of a giant morality play. So the boomers, in general, fell. Is that fair? No, that's not fair. That's not fair. The, quote, greatest generation, right? The pre-boomers, they fell for this lie that violence can be used for virtue. That we can simply print and tax money, and we will solve the problem of poverty, right? So they were asked to break principle for the sake of sentimentality, and sentimentality is the biggest break of principle that can be imagined, right? Europe can't have any borders because some Turkish father was irresponsible, took his kids out on an overloaded boat in the Mediterranean during a storm because he wanted to get to Canada for free dental care, and his kid drowned, and suddenly Europe can't have a border because people are crying because, right, rather than getting mad at the parent who put a kid in a hazardous situation like that, right? That's sentimentality. Sentimentality undoes more morality than Satan. In fact, sentimentality is the primary weapon that Satan uses. So people chose sentimentality over virtue, and they chose the pretense of helping over actually helping. They outsourced to the government the helping of the poor. If you want to help the poor, start businesses, start jobs, go talk to them, deal with their issues, listen to them. Don't just hand them money. That's a drug. And that's not helping poverty. That's trying to buy off the responsibility of your own conscience with pretend action enforced by others. It's like forcing women to marry men because you don't like that they're lonely men. It's like, that's not... If you want to figure out why they're lonely men, you can do what I do and talk to them and listen to them and try and help them sort their origin story into a comprehensible narrative. So, as society got wealthier, the poor were left behind and people felt guilty. And then the powers that be came along and said, well, we'll sort that for you and you don't have to lift a finger. You really don't have to pay more in taxes. You certainly don't have to talk to the poor. You don't have to deal with the poor. You don't actually have to get to know the poor. We'll handle it. All you have to do is say, thou shalt steal. That's all you got to do, man. All you have to do is say, thou shalt steal. and we'll take care of everything for you. And so then the poor got locked into a permanent underclass, and now the money is being used for entirely different matters. Right? So we are in the final stages of a morality play called What Happens If We Steal? What happens if we steal? What happens if we run up debts for the unborn? What happens if we counterfeit print money? What happens if we just steal? And it goes badly. It goes badly. It's not a dying world. It's a dying lie that we can do good through evil. The lie is dying. Of course it is, right? Somebody says, and if you defend yourself against the bully, you're the one who gets in trouble. Self-defense is bad. Yeah, often, yeah. Real estate is where the money originates in the U.S. Money gets, quote, printed out of nothing at the point of the transaction. None of the banks involved have the balance in their accounts. Yeah. Perhaps the biggest conspiracy in existence is the suppression of peaceful parenting. Thank you for pulling us out of the bucket of crabs. You're welcome. Can you imagine having to send videos or letters by mail to somewhat have a conversation like we do all the time online now? Yeah, it's wild. I often think about how awful it must have been when so many babies died. It really is too awful for me to imagine. Yeah, for sure. Somebody says, I was a bully when I was younger. One of my, quote, victims chose to attack me, and I 10x'd the pain back on him. The answer to dealing with bullies, from my perspective, was for the victim to play with me back, not fight me. Not advice, just an insight. Ah, okay. I saw a girl documentary giving the homeless fee money. About 10 grand US back on the street inside of a year. Yeah. Yeah. It's not a dying world. It's a dying lie. The lie of virtue signaling and pretending to be good while handing power to evildoers, that lie is dying. The inevitable consequence of breaking principle, in particular in the post-war period and in particular in the 1960s, that lie is dying. And don't we want lies to die? Not people, obviously, but don't we want falsehoods to be revealed? Because people who have refused to learn through theory have to learn through suffering. And people who refuse to learn by theory have to learn through suffering. People who won't quit their addiction because it's bad for them have to hit rock bottom. Now, of course, you and I have done everything in our power. Sorry, I don't mean to speak to you. Speak for you. I've done everything in my power to have people learn through reason and virtue and philosophy and truth and empiricism. I have done my very best to have people quit the drug of delusion. And some people have, of course, but most people have not. And if you won't quit the drug, you have to hit rock bottom. And the people who are hitting rock bottom is like, oh, the world is dying and things are worse than, it's like, no, your delusion is dying. Your delusion is dying and you will be reborn as a more rational person. That's all. We tried this experiment called let's violate property rights for the sake of virtue. Let's do evil and turn it into good. And I grew up poor. I've spent many years trying to help the poor. I actually created jobs, created like 100 jobs over the course of my career. So I've done a lot to help the poor. I've, given philosophical counsel and wisdom to people without charging them for 20 years. So I've done my part for sure. So other people who are like, well, I want to help the poor. It's like, well, what have you done?
Nothing.
Okay. Then you don't want to help the poor. You want to stay away from the poor. I mean, for most people, the poor is a distant toxicity they want other people to endanger themselves by treating. Yeah, the falsehoods are dying. Suffering can be very healing if the lessons are learned. Yeah. Suffering in people is often the truth trying to birth itself. And birth is painful. Why do you think they are bashing the crocodile wrangler guy for marrying Lana Del Rey? I'm not proud, Joe, that I know about this, but I do. Because the crocodile wrangler guy had a woman dangling on an engagement fishhook for 12 years, and then he marries Lana Del Rey within like a month of meeting her. So women are angry that he kept a woman dangling for 12 years, and then married this celebrity within a month of meeting her. To me, you should know if the relationship has a significant future by the third date. All right, let us get to... In the UK, the government seems to dislike their own poor more than anyone else. Well, but mostly the white poor, right? All right. I mean, isn't all progress suffering? I mean, it seems almost like two and two make four. All progress is suffering, right? When you start working out, it hurts. Like, it really hurts. When you start to learn piano, it's very frustrating because you hear stuff in your head, you can't make your hands do it. When you start learning a new sport, I remember learning racket sports, being incredibly frustrated by what I wanted to do versus what I was actually able to achieve. When I started philosophy, I felt completely retarded because I just realized the absolute depth of assumptions that I had without any actual backing for them. I mean, one of the reasons I was able to hit the ground running was I did philosophy for 20 years before I opened my mouth in public. That's a fair amount of prep. So, all progress is suffering. And the reason they make you hypersensitive to suffering and make you a hedonist is so you don't progress, so you don't achieve excellence. You should have fun is corrupt competence people's way of keeping you incompetent. You should focus on fun. Do what's enjoyable for you. Do what makes your heart sing. It's like, no, that's not the way to achieve anything of any quality about anything, anywhere, ever, anytime. When I remember when I was first learning how to program there was Access. Ooh, I think we had just got Access 2.0. There were a couple of books. There were no online tutorials. There were no videos. There was no type ahead where you hit the dot and you get the drop down of the next thing. So I remember I had to spend 9 hours learning, trying to figure out how to open a record set, write a value, save it and close it without screwing anything up. It was 9 hours. I remember that. And I didn't even get up to go to the bathroom, like 9 hours, right? So it's hard. All progress is hard. All progress is difficult. Hedonism is laziness, and hedonism is incompetence. Because hedonism says I should live for pleasure, and that denies you from any progress in anything, because all progress in anything is difficult and unpleasant. I remember when I first started working with XML files back in 2005, there was no real documentation, and it just took forever and ever, amen, to try and figure out how to get that stuff to work. I remember when I was working on, I had a wizard where you could choose your own shows, the type, like I want history shows that are shorter than 90 minutes and so on, right? And in order to create that, I had to create a feed. And in the programming language, which was .NET, there was supposed to be a way of working with feeds. I couldn't figure out how to make it work, so I just did brute force writing text files directly to the hard drive. So, yeah, it's all progress is tough. What workout hurts the most? Ever do leg day for the first after a break, maybe the first time ever, and it hurts to go up and down the stairs or even sit down, the pain of gains. So here's, yeah, it's a funny thing. So I don't usually get pain from workouts, with one exception, or two exceptions. One exception is when I play pickleball or tennis, because I'm 58, I have to not push the envelope and just do whatever I want. Oh, I can get that ball. I'm going to lunge and run for it because my body's like, yeah, it's fine now. We'll make you pay later, make you suffer later, but it's fine now. So I have to hold myself back a little bit, not too much, but a little bit in. But here's another funny thing is that I couldn't figure out why my hips were kind of tight and a little tender, right? Why are my hips kind of tight and tender? Have I been giving birth to new ideas in the night? And it turns out I haven't played video games in quite a while, but I realized I kind of need to do some brain exercises. And so I booted up the old Unreal Tournament 3. And I realized that because I don't have a gaming chair, I was kind of leaning forward and my hips were. And so I was like, why? Oh, because I've been gaming a little bit. So anyway. I remember learning BASIC because I would need computers at work. And oh, and DOS, because I would need computers to work. Newsflash, I didn't need them. Oh, I remember, well, way back in the day, I had a little consulting company for software stuff. I've never talked about this before, but yeah, I had a little consulting company for hardware and software stuff back in the day. And when people couldn't get things to work, like they couldn't get their printer to work in a DOS environment, I would come out and sort it out for them. I didn't even have a car, so I would have to charge them for cab fare if they were beyond the bus route, which they usually were. So I would go out and play. So I made some decent coin in it, but it was not a game. Sorry, it was not a business that was particularly sustainable because I just didn't have enough money to get a car and you needed a car for that kind of stuff. But I remember I had a weekend contract to install a networked set of, this was Windows 3.0, I think, back in the day. And so I put the router in. This was before Wi-Fi, long before Wi-Fi. So I put the routers in and I had to run all the cables. And there were these cards that you'd put in the back of the IBM clones that were supposed to receive the, and I couldn't get the network to work. And it turns out that the company that I had bought the network cards from hadn't put a particular jumper on, like you had to move these little physical plastic jumpers, and they had put the wrong jumper in the wrong place, which I didn't know anything about. So I spent all a weekend frantically trying to get a network to work that physically couldn't work for various reasons, though, right? So, yeah, this was sort of back in the day, man. And that was frustrating. It was difficult. It was painful. I wanted to do it. Couldn't do it. Thank you, Anthony. I appreciate that. All right. Are you ready to go a little spicy? Should we go donor? Let's go donor. It's been a while. We'll go donor, and just for those of you who want to join, of course, you are absolutely welcome to join. You can just sign up at freedomain.locals.com/support/promo/ UPB 2022. Boy, there's a user-friendly. We should probably try and find some way to make that slightly more user-friendly. But you can join there. And yeah, we have become rather hysterical when it comes to pain. Somebody says the U.S. went bankrupt and defaulted on August 15th, 1971, when Nixon temporarily took the dollar off the gold standard. It's been a Ponzi scheme ever since. Yeah. Ever see a white belt in a jiu-jitsu class? You spend the first year or two getting smashed. A lot of people quit and can't get past that. That is suffering. Win 3.2, LOL, 5-inch floppy. Yes, it was a 5-inch floppy. The 3.5-inch floppies were. And then the zip drives, iOmega zip drives with the parallel port. You remember those? Oof. Oh, is that right? FDRURL.com/locals. Is that new? Has that been around for a while? FDRURL.com/locals. Okay, sign up there. Somebody says, are Nayib Bukele and Satoshi Nakamoto evidence that absolute power does not corrupt? Absolutely. If not, why not? But if so, might you be sympathetic to a type of monarchy described by Hans Hermann Hoppe in the supported by King Dr. Safieddine Amos as a stepping stone to the free and philosophical society with Bitcoin at the root? Can you play devil's advocate and steel man the case for a transitory benevolent dictator? Oh, we've had it for a while. Links to the promo code. Oh, thanks. Appreciate it. FDRURL.com/locals. Yeah, I knew that. All right. So we're going to go. Let me just go back to the studio here. We're going to go donor only. So if you're over on Rumble, it's going to close down there. And just so you know, the This show will only ever go out, like the part that's coming next will only ever go out to donors and all of that. So we will get there. If you're dropping off at noon on the 29th of September, 2024, thank you so much. One more day to help support. You know, I'm not saying my mood entirely fluctuates by donations by the month, but I have one day to stay in a good mood. Just kidding. All right. So freedomain.com/donate to help that out. I'd really appreciate that. Let's do a little bit of time with the donors only. Lots of love from up here. I'll talk to you soon.